الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد continuing with العقيدة الواسطية الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله and alhamdulillah we reached chapter number 13 which is إثبات السمع والبصر لله تعالى affirmation of hearing and seeing for Allah the Most High. الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله he mentions a number of verses from the book of Allah سبحانه وتعالى highlighting to us, brothers and sisters, a very important point that aqeedah, belief, is solely derived from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first ayah that Shaykh al-Islam mentioned was the saying of Allah wa qawluhu, and he's saying, فَسَمِعُ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوَرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of her that disputes with you concerning her husband and complains to Allah. And Allah hears the argument between you both. Verily, Allah is all hearer, all seer. وَقَوْلُهُ And he's saying, the Most High, لَقَدْ سَمِعُ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءٌ Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of those who say, truly Allah is poor and we are rich. And he's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ بَلَا وَرُسُلَنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ Or do they think that we do not hear their secrets and their private gatherings? Certainly we do. And our messengers, the appointed angels, are with them recording. And he's saying, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَىٰ I am with you both, hearing and seeing. وَقَوْلُهُ And he's saying, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَىٰ Does he not know that Allah sees what he does? And he's saying, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ He who sees you when you stand to pray at night and your movements among those who prostrate, verily only he is the hearer, the all-seer. And he's saying, وَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ And say to them, perform actions and deeds. Allah will see your actions, and so will His Messenger and the believers. Ikhwan, we'll go on insha'Allah just to read some of the words of al-Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh Hafidhahullah. He said, إِذَا تَبَيَّنَ ذَٰلِكَ If this is clear to you, فَيَظْهَرُ لَكَ Then it is apparent to you the greatness of the attribute of hearing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of the name of Allah as-Sami' the All-Hearer. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْمَعُ الْأَصْوَاتِ For verily Allah hears all sounds and voices and all things. وَيَعْلَمُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَعَانِيَ كَلَامِ الْخَلْقِ عَلَى اخْتِلَافِ لُغَاتِهِمْ وَعَلَى تَفَنُّنِ حَاجَاتِهِمْ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the meaning of the speech of the creation with their different languages and their various needs. فَيُخَاطِبُهُ الْعَرَبِي أَوْ الْعَجَمِي وَيُخَاطِبُهُ صَاحِبُ كل لسان والله هو الذي خلق اللغات والألسنة والله عز وجل يسمع ذلك ويجيب ويثيب ويحاسب تبارك وتعالى. The Arab addresses Allah with his language. The non-Arab addresses him with their language, and each person addresses Allah with their own language. And Allah is the one who created these languages and tongues. And Allah hears all of this, and He responds to the servants and rewards them and brings them to account. Naam, brothers and sisters, as Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Alhamdulillah alladhi wasi'a sam'uhu al-aswat. All praise belongs to Allah, whose hearing encompasses all voices and noises. Allahu Akbar. And the shahid min al-ayat al-kareema, because we discussed previously, briefly, the attribute of hearing and seeing for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Al-shahid min al-ayat al-kareema, the reason why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned these noble verses, في هذه الآيات وصف الله سبحانه بالسمع والبصر, is that in these verses Allah is described as possessing the attributes of hearing and seeing. And we will discuss بعد قليل inshaAllah how this should affect you, يا عبد الله ويا أمة الله, in your conduct and your behavior and your daily activities throughout your life. Your belief that Allah is the all-hearing, your belief that Allah is the all-seeing, your belief that Allah has the attribute of hearing and seeing. In these verses, Allah is described as possessing the attributes of hearing and seeing. وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى يَسْمَعُ وَيُبْصِرُ حَقِيقَةً عَلَى مَا يَلِيقُ بِهِ مُنَزَّهٌ عَنْ صِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَمَمَاثَلَتِهِمْ. In these verses we find that Allah hears and He sees in a manner befitting His majesty, and He is free and far removed from resembling the creation and resembling their attributes. فَالْآيَاتْ صَرِيحَ فِي إِثْبَاتِ السَّمْعِ وَالْبَصَرُ. These verses, brothers and sisters, are clear in affirming the attributes of hearing and seeing for Allah تبارك وتعالى. حيث جاء فيها إثبات السمع لله بلفظ الماضي والمضارع واسم الفاعل. سمع ويسمع وسميع, ولا يصح في كلام العرب أن يقال شيء هو سميع بصير إلا وذلك الشيء يسمع ويبصر. شيخ الفوزان said, in these verses, hearing is affirmed for Allah using verbs in the past tense. For example, in the ayah, when Allah Azza wa Jalla Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He said, قَدْ سَمِعُ اللَّهُ قَدْ سَمِعُ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. What verb is that without screaming? Abdul Majid. Where's Abdul Majid? غير موجود. فضل. What type of verb is that? Normally you sit on the right. You swap with your age. Allahu Akbar. What type of verb is that? Verb in the past tense, present tense, command. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. أحسنت. That verb here is الفعل الماضي. It is a verb in the past tense. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Who can give me the إعراب? Who can break down that sentence? Many of the brothers and the sisters should be able. This is book, two stuff. It was Abdul Malik. قَدْ سَمِعُ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. I just want the إعراب of قَدْ سَمِعُ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي. Firstly, what type of قَدْ is this? قَدْ. فضل قد هنا يفيد ماذا؟ التحقيق is emphasis. Because قد, when this word قد, it can carry various meanings. From the meanings is التحقيق, is emphasis. قد سمع الله. Certainly, definitely Allah heard the statement of the one that disputes with you. So سمع, as Abdul Majidi said, فعل ماضي. مبني على الفتح لا محل في الإعراب. لفظ الجلال is what? الله is here what? لفظ الجلال فاعل. قول is what? بلال مفعولا به أحسن منصوب. See, look at the Arabic language, how it helps you to understand the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nam. Anyone who reads that and understands Arabic, it's clear an affirmation of hearing for Allah. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي Allah, certainly he heard. It affirms the attribute of hearing for Allah. So that's a verb in the past tense. Who can, where is affirmation? بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ Of hearing with the verb in the present tense, al-mudari' from these ayat. Who can give me the ayat? In the ayat that were mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, we find affirmation of the attribute of hearing for Allah, because Allah mentioned the verb in the present tense, al-mudari' Muhammad, tafaddal. Ahsant. Also, na'am. Likewise, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ Do they think that we do not hear their secrets? نَسْمَعُ فِعْلْ مُضَارِعُ A verb in the present tense. Do they think that we do not hear their statements? Their secrets? Likewise, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى Verily I am with both of you. I hear and I see. That's in a verb in the present tense. Also, we find affirmation of the name of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Sami'. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, it is not possible, nor is it correct in the Arabic language to say about something that something is hearing and seeing, except that they hear and see. Because you have some of Ahl al-Bid'ah, they say, yes, from the names of Allah is the all-hearing, but he does not hear. Does that even make sense? Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, it is impossible, it is incorrect in the Arabic language to say about anything that they are hearing and seeing, except that they hear and they see. هذا هو الأصل فلا يقال. That is why it is not said about the mountain, for example, the mountain is hearing and seeing, because the mountain doesn't hear, nor does it see. لأن ذلك مستحيل إلا لمن يسمع ويبصر. Ikhwan, what are some of the benefits of correct belief in these two attributes from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is one of the benefits, Ikhwan, of the explanation of Al-Allama Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Because he has, when discussing some of the attributes of Allah, at the end, he has ما نستفيد من الناحية المسلكية في الإيمان بصفتي السمع والرؤية. That which we benefit as it relates to our conduct, our behavior from believing in the two attributes of Allah, hearing and seeing. How does your belief affect you? That's important. Showing us the importance of العقيدة الصحيحة, the correct belief. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, أما الرؤية, as for the attribute of sight and seeing for Allah, فَنَسْتَفِيدُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِهَا الْخَوْفُ وَالرَّجَاءُ Then we benefit from believing in this by the attainment of fear and hope. He said, for example, الْخَوْفُ إِنْدِ الْمَعْسِيَةِ Fear when disobeying Allah, that Allah sees you. Fear of Allah when disobeying Allah, because you know, ya Abdullah wa ya Amatullah, that Allah sees you and He will bring you to account. لَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَانَا Because Allah sees us. وَالرَّجَاءِ عِنْدَ الطَّاعَةِ And hope is with obedience. When we obey Allah, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَانَا Because Allah sees us. وَلَا شَكْ أَنَّهُ سَيُثِيبُنَا عَلَى هَذَا And no doubt, Allah will reward us for righteous deeds. So you have hope. You see the importance of correct belief? Al-aqidatu sahiha. Fataqwa. Azaimuna bi ta'atillah. So based upon this, as a result of this correct belief, hamidakumullah, our desire and determination to obey Allah increases and strengthens. And our desire to disobey Allah is weakened and lessened. Why? Because you know, ya amatullah, and you are certain, and you believe firmly that Allah sees you. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, there's not a moment that you can escape the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Amma sam'a. As for the benefit of believing in the attribute of hearing, for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, فَالْأَمْرُ فِيهِ ظَاهِرٌ, then this is obvious. Naam, it's obvious for the one الَّذِي يَتَأَمَّلُ, who ponders and reflects. لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا آمَنَ بِسَمْعِ اللَّهِ, because if the servant believes in the attribute of hearing for Allah, استلزمَ إِيمَانَهُ كَمَالَ مُرَاقَبَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِيمَا يَقُولُ خَوْفًا وَرَجَاءً. As for the benefit of believing in his attribute of hearing, then this is obvious, because if a person believes that Allah hears, then his faith requires him to be conscious of Allah when he speaks. Now the one who believes that Allah Azza wa Jalla hears, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, all things, he's going to be conscious of Allah and he's going to watch his tongue. You won't find that person using profanity. Like there are no consequences for that. When they're reminded to fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Istilzama imanuhu. The belief that Allah Azza wa Jalla hears, then his faith requires him to be conscious of Allah when he speaks or when she speaks, out of fear and hope. Therefore, the servant avoids any speech that is bad and evil, as Allah would hear that. And the servant would only say that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt, ikhwan, and you benefit that clearly. Go back to the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Do they think that we do not hear their secrets and their private conversations? Do they think that we do not hear their secrets and their private conversations and counsels? Allah hears all things. Just because someone is in a dark room, or just because it is a private gathering, the one who believes in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon what is in the Quran and the Sunnah knows for a surety that Allah Azza wa Jalla hears and sees, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now with that, alhamdulillah, intahina min hadha al-bab. The next chapter is what? Affirmation. Ithbat al-makr wal-kayd lillahi ta'ala ala ma yaliqu bihi. Affirmation of plotting and planning for Allah as befitting His Majesty. But there's an important point, brothers and sisters, as it pertains to this. Who can tell me what it is? Before we even begin. And we've discussed this previously in previous lessons. Affirmation of plotting and planning for Allah as befitting His Majesty. Ikhwan, and before that, afwan, one mas'ala. إذا تبين ذلك فهذه الآيات وغيرها من الآيات التي فيها إثبات هذه الصفة لله نعتقد ما دلت عليه من أن الله يرى عباده ويبصرهم بعينيه. We believe based upon these ayat and other than them that affirm the attribute of seeing for Allah, we believe in what is established by these verses that Allah sees His servants with His two eyes. That's important in opposition to Ahlul Bidah, in opposition to the people of innovation and misguidance. We believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, sees His servants with His two eyes, and that seeing and sight is not only of knowledge, as is claimed by the Mubtadi'ah, بل هي رؤية وإبصار بعينه. Rather, brothers and sisters, Allah Azza wa Jalla, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He sees with His two eyes, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because Allah informed us that He has two eyes. وَلَعَيْنْ بِهَا تَكُونَ الرُّؤْيَا وَبِهَا يَكُونَ الْبَصَرُ. Naam, because the Asha'ira and the Maturidiya, they affirm the attribute of seeing, but they say that this seeing and this sight is سَبِيلُهَا الْعِلْمِ. It is by way of knowledge. يَعْنِي هُوَ يَرَى ليس بعينيه. They say Allah sees but not with his two eyes. That's the Ash'ari, أنما تريدية لأنهم لا يثبتون العينين لله تعالى. Because they do not affirm two eyes for Allah عز وجل as befitting his majesty. And as we know, there is nothing like Allah. And we discussed that in the previous lesson. So chapter 14, إثبات المكر والكيد لله تعالى على ما يليق به. Affirmation of plotting and planning for Allah as befitting His Majesty. Ikhwan, before we start, what should we say about these two attributes? Memorize this principle, and it's very important. هذه الآيات في ذكر صفة الكيد والمكر بمن كاد ومكر بأولياء الله تعالى. وهذه الصفة يثبتها أهل السنة والجماعة مقيدة مختصة. وهذه الآيات تدل على ذلك. These verses that mention the attribute of plotting and planning for Allah, Allah plots and plans against those who plot and plan against His awliya, against His messengers, against His religion. The people of the Sunnah affirm these attributes for Allah in a specific and restricted sense. Meaning what? We say Allah plots and plans against those who wrongly plot and plan. Is that clear, Ikhwan? We don't affirm them in an absolute and unrestricted sense. With these attributes of Allah, specifically here, Al-Kaid wal-Makar, plotting and planning, and the reason will become clear to you later on. These attributes, Ahlul Sunnah affirm them, Muqayyada Mukhtasa. Specific and restricted. Meaning what? Meaning, brothers and sisters, and as I said, لا يثبت أهل السنة مطلقة بدون قيد. أهل السنة don't affirm these attributes without specification and restriction. بل أهل السنة والجماعة يثبت هذه الصفات مقيدة كما جاءت في النصوص. أهل السنة affirm these attributes as they come in the texts. So they say, أهل السنة say, إن الله عز وجل يكيد من كاد أولياءه. So for example, they say, نعم, Allah plots against those who plot against his awliya, those who plot against his religion, those who plot against his messengers. Is that clear, Ikhwan? Ahl al-Sunnah, when they affirm plotting and planning for Allah, they affirm these attributes in the specific and restricted sense as they come in the Quran, in the Nusus. So, Ahl al-Sunnah, they say, Allah Azza wa Jal plots and plans against those who plot and plan against his awliya, his righteous servants, or those who plot against his messengers, or those who plot against his religion. So they affirm it in the restricted and specific sense. And like I said, the reason why will become clear to you later on. Barakallahu feekum. Now, the Shaykh ibn Baz rahimahullah, he mentioned the same thing. He said, plotting is affirmed for Allah, restricted to the case of this being a recompense for the one who wrongfully plots against, as we said, and that's for me, the awliya of Allah, the messengers of Allah, the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is truly plotting and planning as befitting Allah Azza wa Jal, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He does not resemble the creation. He does not, Allah Azza wa Jal does not resemble the creation in his plotting and planning. Na'am. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions some of the proofs for this. And he starts with the saying of Allah, وَقَوْلُهُ, and he's saying, وَهُوَ الشَّدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ, and he is mighty. And Ikhwan, this word, المحال, this word المحال, and I'm going to translate it based upon the reason why Shaykh al-Islam mentioned it here. The word المحال, وَهُوَ الشَّدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ, المحال فُسِّرَتْ بِعِدَّةِ تَفْسِيرَاتِ. It has been explained by the scholars of tafsir to mean various things. However, minha al-kayd wal-makar. It has been explained to be planning and plotting. يعني هو الشديد الكيد والمكر بمن كاد أولياءه أو مكر بأوليائه. So here would mean he is mighty in his plotting and planning against those who plan and plot against his awliya, righteous servants, or those who plot and plan against his religion. And I mentioned that, Ikhwan, so it becomes clear why he mentioned it here. Because if you look at maybe some of the translations, they use or they rely upon a different tafsir, and maybe the reason is not clear why Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned it in this chapter. So The ayah, وَهُوَ الشَّدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ, he is mighty in his plotting and planning against those who plan and plot against his righteous servants or those who plot against his religion. Naam. Naam. It's Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 13. Meem, Ha, Alif, Lam. The meaning of Al-Mihal, Minha, from the meanings mentioned by the scholars of Tafsir, is Al-Kaid wal-Makar. يعني هو الشديد الكيد والمكر بمن كاد أولياءه أو مكر بأوليائه. So the meaning here that we have chosen to mention is that the meaning of mihal is plotting and planning. So therefore the meaning of the ayah would be, he is mighty, Allah is mighty and is plotting and planning against those who plan and plot against his righteous servants or those who plot and plan against his religion. نعم ولهذا أوردها شيخ الإسلام هنا مع آيات إثبات الكيد والمكر لله. And that's why Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned this verse among the other verses that affirm plotting and planning for Allah, because some scholars explain the word mihal to be plotting and planning. Likewise, شيخ الإسلام mentioned the ayah وقوله and the saying of Allah, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, and they plotted, and Allah plotted too, and Allah is the best of plotters. Look, ikhwan, they plotted. وَمَكَرُوا, those who wanted to murder Isa, Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam, and crucify him, they plotted and they planned. وَمَكَرُوا اللَّهُ, and Allah plotted against them. See, it was مُقَابَلَة, that was a recompense for their wrongful actions. They were being sly. Naam, they wanted to inflict harm upon someone that did not deserve it. So they plotted, and Allah plotted against them. However, as the Shaykh al-Fawzan will mention, ikhwan, that which is praiseworthy as it relates to this al-makar wal-kayd, huwa isaluhu ila man yastahiquhu uqubatan lah. That which is praiseworthy is to do this to the one who deserves it as a punishment. So these individuals who wanted to kill Isa, did they deserve it? They deserved it. That's praiseworthy. Na'am. So Allah said, وَمَكَرُوا, they plotted and they planned. And that's the danger, ikhwan. If you plot against the servants of Allah, the righteous servants, if you plot against, na'am, the religion of Allah, look at the recompense of that. May Allah protect us from that, ikhwan. وَمَكَرُوا, they plotted and they planned. وَمَكَرُوا اللَّهُ, and Allah plotted against them. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, and Allah is the best of planners. Likewise, Allah, He said, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, they plotted a plot and we plotted a plot while they perceive not. They didn't even know about it. So a person, وَلِعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, upon evil, may plot and plan against the people that Allah loves, or may plot and they plan against the religion of Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jalla Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is plotting against them, and they don't even know it. And they're being led to their destruction. May Allah protect each and every one of us. That is why those who plot and plan against the people of the Sunnah, look where they will end up. You will see it. If not al-an, ba'da qaleelin. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, and you heard this in Salat al-Maghrib, in the prayer, innahum yakiduna kayda wa akidu kayda famahilil kafirina amhilhum ruwaida. Verily, they are but plotting a plot, and I too am plotting a plot against them. They were plotting against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah was plotting against them. Ikhwan, Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, al-shahid min al-ayat, the reason why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned these verses, fi hadhihi al-ayat, wasf Allah bil-makr wal-kayd, is that these verses comprise of mention are the attributes of plotting and planning for Allah. Wa nisbatu dhalika ilayhi subhanahu haqiqatun ala babihi. And ascribing this and affirming this for Allah is true with the correct meaning. Naam, and as we said, ikhwan, we affirm it for Allah in the restricted, specific sense. not absolutely. We say, Nam, Allah plots against those who plot against His religion, or those who plot against His messengers, those who plotted against His messengers, or those who plot against the righteous servants of Allah. فَإِنَّ الْمَكَرِ إِخْوَانٍ. The meaning of this word, makar, plotting, is to do something to someone in a hidden way. إِسَالَ الشَّيْءِ إِلَى الْغَيْرِ بِطَرِيقٍ خَفِي وَكَذَلِكَ الْكَيْدُ وَالْمُخَادَعَ وَالْمَكَرِ. And Shaykh al-Fawzani said, there's two types of plotting. One type, قَبِيح, which is dispraiseworthy. وَهُوَ إِسَالُ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ لَا يَسْتَحِقُ. That is done by the enemies of the truth. Those who plot and they plan to do something to someone who doesn't deserve it. So when they were plotting against the Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that was qabih. When they were plotting against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that was qabih. When the people, they plot against the people of Tawheed and Sunnah, that is qabih. That is dispraiseworthy and foul. However, you have plotting and planning which is praiseworthy, which is what? هُوَ إِيْسَالُهُ إِلَى مَنْ يَسْتَحِقُهُ عُقُوبَةً لَهُ. And this is to do this to the one who deserves it as a punishment for their actions. The first was dispraiseworthy, but this is praiseworthy. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala only does that which He is praised for out of His justice and His wisdom. Naam. Allah Azza wa Jalla only does what is praiseworthy. Those who Allah Azza wa Jalla plots and plans against, they deserve it. مُقَابَلَ, as a recompense for their actions. وَهُوَ تَعَالَى يَأْخُذُ الظَّالِمُ وَالْفَاجِرُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah punishes and seizes the oppressor and the wicked from ways they cannot even perceive and imagine. لَا كَمَا يَفْعَلَ الظَّلَمَ بِعِبَادِ اللَّهِ. And this is not like the tyrants they do to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions here, Ikhwan, وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَمْ يَصِفْ نَفْسُ بِالْكَيْدِ وَالْمَكَرْ وَالْخِضَاعِ إِلَّا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْجَزَالِ مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. Allah did not describe Himself with planning and the like, except as a recompense for those who wrongfully does this. Meaning, this was the reward of those who were doing it wrongfully. Allah done it to them, and it was praiseworthy because they deserved it. Also, another important point. تَنْبِيهٌ نِسْبَةِ الْكَيْدِ وَالْمَكَرِ وَنَحْوِهِمَا إِلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَ مِنْ إِطْرَاقِ الْفِعْلِ عَلَيْهِ تَعَالَى. Ascribing plotting and planning to Allah in the restricted and the specific sense and the like is to describe Allah with these actions. And actions are more expansive than names. Meaning, we don't say from the names of Allah is al-makir, as some of the people of knowledge have mentioned. That's a mistake. Allah didn't mention that one as one of His names. Why? Because as we mentioned, the word makar, plotting and planning, can be understood in a good way, or it can be understood in a what? A bad way. We don't say al-makir, the plotter is from the names of Allah. Allah never called Himself al-makir. Yes, Allah said about Himself that He plots and He plans against those who wrongfully plot and they plan. Is that clear, Ikhwan? So Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, من إطلاق الفعل عليه تعالى والفعل أوسع من الاسم ولهذا أطلق الله على نفسه أفعالا لم يتسمى منها بأسماء الفاعل. So now Allah عز وجل تبارك وتعالى described Himself with these actions, but He did not name Himself with these names. Because as we said, this word, makar and kayd, it has a praiseworthy meaning, and that is the what we affirm for Allah عز وجل, مقيدة مختصة. And it has a dispraiseworthy meaning. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is free and far removed from that. Ikhwan, also, what's the benefit of believing in these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Al-Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he mentioned this. What is the, and this is a beautiful benefit. Fa'ida tuktabu bidhahab. It is a benefit that should be written in gold. Because Ikhwan, it shows again the da'f, the weakness in these areas of those individuals who you see practicing these things. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, مَا نَسْتَفِيدُ مِنَ النَّاحِيَةِ الْمَسْلَكِيَّةِ فِي إِثْبَاتِ صِفَةِ الْمَكَرِ وَالْكَيْدِ وَالْمِحَانِ. How do we benefit as it relates to our behavior and our actions and our implementation from believing in the attributes of plotting and planning for Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah plots and He plans against those who plot and plan wrongfully. The Shaykh, he said, المكر يستفيد به الإنسان بالنسبة للأمر المسلكي مراقبة الله عز وجل وعدم التحيل على محارمه. نعم, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, a person benefits from believing in this. Believing that from the attributes of Allah is that Allah plots and plans against those who plot and plan against His righteous servants, or those who plot and plan against His mother religion, or Allah Azza wa Jal plots and He plans against those who plot and plan against His messengers. The belief in this, a person benefits from his believing in this, again to be conscious of Allah and to not attempt to use trickery and deception to justify what Allah has forbidden. Person's cautious. I'm not going to be sly and cunning trying to justify something that's haram. Why? Because I know, as Allah said in the Quran, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, wa makaru. They plotted and they planned. Wa makaru wa makaru Allah. And Allah plotted and planned against them. I'm not going to play games and plot and use ploys to make haram something that is good. I'm not going to now justify my mixing with Ahlul Bidah, going to Sister Claire Muhammad, which I haven't been there for the last 15 years, but I'm going there now to listen to a Habashi on stage rapping, somebody who abuses the people of the Sunnah, na'am, and abuses those who have the Aqeedah that is found in the Quran and the Sunnah. So the one who has the correct Aqeedah, if for example they were to become weak, they would say, you know what, I'm wrong. They're not going to justify saying, you know what, I don't like so-and-so, so that's why I go there. That shows how the da'f. And then you have some individuals, they say, they use that foolish lecture of the individual, الَّذِي لَا يَعْرِفُ الْبَاءَ مِنَ الْفَاءَ. They say, where's the bid'ah? It's not bid'ah to use music as a means of becoming closer to Allah. That's not bid'ah. So what is bid'ah? What, I have to come with you and give you a talk and mention to you 10 definitions? No, I'll save you from all of that. The best speech is the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This religion, alhamdulillah, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this Qur'an and it was easy to recite and to understand and to memorize. The layman can understand the religion. The layman can understand what bid'ah is. What's bid'ah? The Prophet told us, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَوَرَدْ. When the ulama, they say, this is a qa'id min qawa'id al-Islam, meaning the hadith of the Prophet. So you can give us the statement of any man that you want. We'll say the statement of the Prophet ﷺ is ajma', is more comprehensive, it is more clear. Whoever innovates into this religion of ours, that which is not from it is rejected. So now even the layman can tell you what bid'ah is. They see somebody after the prayer saying, everyone says subhanallah in one voice, they can say that's a bid'ah. We don't find that in the Quran or the Sunnah. They see someone denying the attributes of Allah, they can say that's a bid'ah, because Allah affirmed that in the Quran, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed that in the Sunnah. Do you need a PhD to know what bid'ah is? No, you don't. That's somebody who wants to make you ignorant. No, in order for you to understand what bid'ah is, memorize the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before you memorize anyone's definition. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَوَرَدْ. Whoever innovates into this religion, that which is not from it, it is rejected. A mardood. Simple. Clear. So look, ikhwan. Al-Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ. And how many do we find from the people, ikhwan, that try and cunningly justify disobedience or doing what is forbidden? They use schemes. They use plots. Instead of just saying, you know what, I'm wrong, I'm mukhti, I'm wrong, I'm falling short, you know, I'm weak, make dua that Allah guides me. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, how many times do people try and cunningly justify doing what is forbidden? And remember the ayah, if they only truly understood the ayah of Allah, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرُوا اللَّهُ. They plotted and they planned. They played games with the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah plotted and planned against them. And Allah is the best of planners. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, Rahimahullah, إِذَا عَلِمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْرًا. If they truly knew, these individuals, that Allah plans better than them, and Allah is swifter than them in His planning, وَأَسْرَعُوا مِّنْهُمْ مَكْرًا, فإن ذلك يستلزم أن ينتهوا عن المكر. Then this would lead to them what? They would stay away from plotting and planning unjustly. They would stay away from their ploys and their games and their tricks. They wouldn't be on Instagram running their mouth, putting themselves out there foolishly without any ilm. And then the Shaykh, he said, look what he gives examples. He said, وَهَذَا لَهُ أَمْثِلَ كَثِيرًا جِدًا فِي الْبُيُوعِ وَالْأَنْكِحَ وَغَيْرِهِمَا. There are many examples where people try and use ploys and they try and use tricks to justify what is forbidden. To justify what is forbidden. One example, they say, Sahaba differed in aqeedah, which is kadhib. Companions differed in aqeedah, so it doesn't matter if I lecture next to the Sufi, if I'm next to the Mu'tazili, if I'm next to the Shi'i, it doesn't matter. That's why you see people, they unite upon racial lines. Racial lines. You could say that Allah is a man and I'm going to be with you because I'm black or because I'm white or because I'm this or because I'm that. No wala wal bara. No love for Allah, no hate for Allah. It's based upon what I want to dictate to you. What I now say is acceptable because it's not upon Quran and Sunnah. So if you have a figurehead from among them, they go with him. That's taqleed. That's taqleed. That's blind following. So na'am, utilizing excuses to be with, to defend people of innovation, na'am, and attack the people of the sunnah, that's an example of that. If you knew, ya Abdullah wa ya Amatullah, as Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, wa huwa shadeedul mihal, that verily Allah is mighty in His plotting and planning against those who plot against His religion. If you truly understood the saying of Allah, wa makaru makra, they plotted and they planned. وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا and we plotted and we planned. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ and they don't even know it. They don't even perceive it. They don't even know about it. And another example, ikhwan, in marriage. Another example in marriage. مِثَالًا فِي الْأَنْكِحَةِ an example in marriage where a weakness or maybe an incorrect aqeedah can lead people to use ploys, to use stratagems, to use ماذا perfidy in order to justify what is forbidden. مثالا في الأنكحة امرأة طلقها زوجها ثلاثة. A woman who is divorced by her husband 3 times. Again, the one whose عقيدة صحيحة is firmly rooted in his heart. Alhamdulillah, he fears Allah تبارك وتعالى. He's not going to embark upon this because he knows that Allah عز وجل تبارك وتعالى is the best of planners. For those who plot and those who plan. A man, he divorced his wife 3 times. فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ إِلَّا بَعْدَ زَوْجٍ That woman now is not lawful for that man who divorced his wife 3 times until she gets married again. That's clear to everyone, right? However, فَجَاءَ الصَّدِيقُ لَهُ One of his friends, they have a discussion. Listen, you're my man. If anyone ever came to you, you should look at them as a disgrace because they have no good thoughts about you. If anyone ever utters and asks you to do anything like that, that's a delil that they don't value you. They think that you are scum and you're just going to listen to what they want. If one of your friends ever proposes anything like this, the friend comes and he says to his friend, listen, do me a favor, marry my wife, have relations with her, then divorce her, na'am, so that I could take her back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about this ikhwan, as comes in the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُحَلِّلُ وَالْمُحَلَّلَهُ Allah's curse is upon the one who marries the woman to make a lawful for the ex-husband and the man who has this done for him. Meaning the ex-husband who divorced the wife 3 times. And he's asking somebody or seeking from someone to marry her, have relations with her and then divorce her so that he can marry her. وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ صَحِيحٌ فِي سُنَنَ أَبِي دَاوُدَ Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, Ikhwan, he said, so the man, the friend, he comes, تَزَوَّجَ بِعَقْدٍ وَشُهُودٍ وَمَهْرٍ He gets married to that woman with a marriage contract, witnesses and a dowry. وَدَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا Has relations with her. وَجَامَعَهَا نَعَمْ He enters upon her. ثُمَّ طَلَّقَهَا And then he divorces her. When he divorces her, أَتَتْ بِالْعِدَّةِ She finishes her iddah, the waiting period. وَتَزَوَّجَهَا الْأَوَّلِ And then the ex-husband, he marries her back. فَإِنَّهَا ظَاهِرًا تَحِلُّ لِلزَّوْجِ Apparently, if you're just looking from the onset, she'd be lawful, right? However, in reality, she's not. That's batil. That is not even recognized. فِي الْحَقِيقَ فِي الْبَاطِنِ لَا تَحِلْ لأن هذه حيلة, because this is a ploy that somebody used to play games, والعياذ بالله, and try and justify what is forbidden. May Allah protect us from that. إخوان, and those type of games is a road to a path that is not praiseworthy. Playing games with the religion of Allah, تبارك وتعالى. That's why it is better if somebody falls short in وقعنا في دم, if we fall into a sin, or if we fall short, we're becoming weak. Instead of justifying it by playing with the religion of Allah, because that is a path that is dangerous. Not only are you falling short, now you're choosing to play games with the religion of Allah. You're taking the religion as a game. And that's even more severe. It's best to just say, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَّا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It's best for a person to say, oh, our Lord, we wronged ourselves. We're wrong. If you don't forgive us, if you don't have mercy upon us, we're going to be from the wrongdoers. As I mentioned before in the khutbah, in a previous khutbah, it is better. The two of them, no doubt, the two of them are bitter. None of them are good. But one is worse than the other. It is better to be a sinner upon the sunnah rather than be upon bid'ah. Both of them are bad. You don't want to be either of them. You don't want to be a sinner. But at the same time, even more so, you don't want to be upon bid'ah. So if a person is falling short, it's best to just say, you know what, I'm falling short. Don't let that cause you to go and mix with the people of bid'ah and be with them and sit with them and defend them and make excuses for them, and then you start to make harm, a war against the people of the sunnah. At one point, you were the staunchest individual against them. Now all of a sudden, you're the staunchest lawyer for them. May Allah protect us from misguidance. Na'am. It's better for an individual to recognize, and we said the proof of that, the individual at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was drinking alcohol, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the companions, he said, do not aid the shaitan against your brother, meaning don't curse him. Do you not see that he's a man that loves Allah and his messenger? That didn't take him outside the fold of al-Islam. That didn't exit him from the realms of the people of the sunnah. The Prophet bore witness that what? That he loves Allah and he loves the messenger. If anyone comes amongst us and he's drinking, we're going to say, Taqillah, fear Allah, we're going to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Na'am. However, about the Khawarij, the Prophet ﷺ, people who used to pray, people who were known for their sujood marks, people that if you walk past their masjid, you would hear the humming like the humming of bees because they would be reciting the Quran. Their eyes would be red from the lack of sleep because they would be standing in prayer during the night. They were known for their memorization of the Quran, but the Prophet said about them, that they're dogs of the hellfire. He said about them that they are the most evil people to be killed that are under the heavens, and the best of those who are killed by them. Showing what? That innovation is worse than sin. Both of them are bad. No. Both of them are bad. Sin is bad, it's evil, it's rejected. But the evil of bid'ah, innovation, it is worse than sin. Why? Because bid'ah ahabu ila iblis min al-ma'asir. Innovation is more beloved to the devil than disobedience. The one who is disobeying Allah, so he's going to say, you know what? The majority of the time, I'm wrong. I'm disobeying Allah. Make dua for me. The one upon bid'ah is going to try and justify it. So again, highlighting to us, ikhwan, يعني the fa'ida min al-nahiyya al-maslakiyya fi ithbat sifat al-makr wal-kayd wal-mahal lillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala wa kama dhakarna ahl al-sunnah yuthbitu hadhi sifat مختصة مقيدة نعم. And with that, alhamdulillah, we'll come to a close. Any questions from this lesson?